This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Most Americans don't really pay attention to whether we have people in space or whether we're sending stuff into space. But last Tuesday, a Minotaur rocket launched from Virginia and headed off over the Atlantic Ocean and went up into the atmosphere. And while you and I may not have been paying attention, my next guest was. His name is Adam Kemp. He is a teacher at Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology, which is a magnet school in Alexandria, Virginia, just across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. The reason Adam was paying close attention is because he and his students had a satellite on board that rocket. These are the first high school students to launch a satellite. Adam, welcome to America Weekend.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And congratulations on this, which you've been working for how many years now?
Since about 2006, so this is our eighth year.
Wow. Tell me a little bit about what it was that you put in space to you and your students.
Well, one of the missions of our school is to be an educational outreach institution and help other schools with STEM-type activities. And so back in 2006, I started a course in systems engineering. And the goal of the course was to have the students work with industry engineers in the design, construction, and ultimate flight of a satellite. And so for educational outreach, we're making all of our designs and presentations and documentation available to the educational public. And the primary objective of the satellite, the payload that's on board, is a voice synthesizer that lets anybody submit a string of text to us. We send it up to the satellite, and it gets spoken back down from outer space over our amateur radio frequencies.
Okay, now when most of us think of a satellite, we picture in our minds something that maybe has what look like wings, solar panels, and maybe something that looks like a satellite dish in the middle because it's beaming television, radio, or cell phone signals back down to Earth. Is that anywhere close to what your satellite looks like?
It's slightly similar. We have solar that gives us our power as we are in when we can see the sun. But it's actually quite small. It's only a 10 centimeter by 10 centimeter by 10 centimeter cube, and really about the size of a box of Pop-Tarts. And something that small is going to be talking to us, and we can talk to it from about 310 miles away.
Wow. Now, when you say talk to it and it talks to us, how does that work?
So at the school, we've erected a satellite tracking ground station and written software that allows us to send data up to the satellite and receive data back from the satellite.
A satellite tracking ground station at a high school. This is so cool. I'm only about 40 years past that myself, but I would definitely have been in that room with you when I was in high school, because right there you just said something that I could not have imagined when I was in high school.
It's pretty exciting.
Now, you sent this thing up, and it's going to be able to send messages back and forth. Does that mean that people all over the world can access your satellite?
And that's the idea, is to give exposure to something of this magnitude to anybody. And the idea is that we have a submission form that's on our website. And if you just Google TJ3SAT, and it's pronounced TJ CubeSat. And on that website, you can submit a request for us to have a string of text spoken. And what we do is we submit the string of text in addition to a time delay, and we know its orbital parameters. So say you're in India or Turkey or China, we can tell it to wait until you're over your location to have it spoken back down. And if you have an amateur radio, you'll be able to hear it.
Very cool. Now, why did it take 8 years?
That's a great question. The course was supposed to only be 3 years long, and since this is such a pretty technical project, we needed more time. So actually, the course was canceled after 3 years, and I continued it on as a senior level research project, and so seniors in the school could elect to take it. So I went from having 20 or 30 students a year to 2 to 3 students a year. And it slowed the process down, but it really gave us the opportunity to be meticulous in our work.
Are there things in there that are just common everyday things, like pieces of cell phones?
Similar electronics. They call it COTS, or commercial off-the-shelf hardware. And we initially wanted to use a whole bunch of stuff that you could really just go online and purchase to put on our satellite. But it turned out that it was actually easier and more educational for us to design most of the satellite in the school. So the only things that were designed by corporations were the aluminum frame that the satellite is made out of, the solar cells that go onto our panel, and the radio. And everything else was designed in-house.
Wow. Now, I know that Thomas Jefferson High School is a magnet school, and science and technology are the key. But the stuff you're just describing to me sounds like, you know, college-level research. And I mentioned that these are the first high school students to ever design a satellite that got launched into space. But is there anybody else doing anything close to what you're doing with students anywhere in America at the high school level?
There are high schools. I know Merritt Island down in Florida is working with some NASA engineers on the design of components and parts that go onto a satellite. I know Chantilly just down the street from us is working kind of in a similar in collaboration with engineers on parts that go on satellites. But to my knowledge, there isn't another high school that has designed it from the ground up.
This has got to look great on a college application. I mean, I know these kids are going on to MIT and Stanford and places like that. And you know, oh, yeah, by the way, I launched a satellite. That's going to put you at the top of the pile, isn't it?
I imagine. We've got some pretty prestigious schools these kids go to.
Yeah. The rocket that took off last Tuesday didn't only carry the TJ-3 set, did it?
No. No, actually, and at the time, that week, it was the largest launch of satellites in history. This past week, there was a launch out of Russia that beat us by, I think, 4 satellites. But we had 28 satellites, the primary, and then 27 kind of sub-satellites. There were 11 total educational satellites, and we were one of those 11. The other 10 were all university satellites.
I feel like I'm compelled to ask this question. 28 satellites going up from you, a bunch from Russia, all sorts of these little things that, like you say, are just the size of a box of Pop-Tarts. This is a great project for you and your students, but are we throwing stuff up there in the sky just kind of willy-nilly and not worrying about it? Not that I'm thinking that the world, not that I'm thinking that the movie Gravity is going to come true, but that movie was about satellites getting out of control and causing havoc in the skies. Are we putting too much debris up there?
No, we really aren't. I mean, space is a very, very big place. And if you think of how big the Earth is down here on ground, we're 310 miles higher than we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that area is that much bigger. And our projected lifespan right now is about 3 months. And so after that time, we're going to begin to accelerate and start coming in towards the Earth. And then we'll eventually burn up. So we're such a small speck in the sky that it's insignificant.
Can you control it at all?
No, we can't. And that was one of the things the kids had proposed way back in 2006, was to have some element of control. But we just free tumble. We just sit there and kind of tumble through space, collecting data.
Is that part of your future plans, to have a satellite that you can control?
Yeah, it might be there. I think I'm looking at high-altitude balloons as a less time-consuming option that gives the same level of engineering and science to the students. But, you know, the kids that worked on this back in 2006, you know, they're about to leave graduate school, if not already.
Yeah.
So, it takes a lot of integrity for the kids to be able to see that far into the future, that what they're doing in 2006 is important to what happened on Tuesday.
How difficult is it to convince NASA to take your Pop-Tart box into space?
Really, really tough. They have, it's called the CubeSat Launch Initiative, and it's basically a grant that you apply for to get a ride into space. And it took us 2 proposals and about a year to convince them that we were flight ready.
So you got money from NASA for the project?
That's correct. Initially, the seed money to get the project going was from Orbital Science Corporation, and that got us some of the initial components. And then on top of that, yeah, NASA gave us the launch, and we have just a ton of donated time.
Last question I have for you, Adam. What else do you have up your sleeve?
Well, I just wrote a book. That was my little side project. And
is it out yet? Let's plug it.
All right. It's called The Makerspace Workbench, and it's through Maker Media. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that 3D printing, laser cutters, open source software and hardware are really gaining traction in the, you know, the school systems. And so looking at my students, just because that's who I work with, and their technical ability, they really needed a kind of a go-to source for how do you use a hammer or what kind of tape works best
and so
to
you,
work outside.
And so you have given them one. You are very inspirational, Adam. Congratulations on all the work, and to both to you and to the kids in your school. I really appreciate your time today here on America Weekend. America Weekend.